Hello, everyone. After covering the prophet Joel in the last teaching, we can see the intensity of God's seriousness on judgment of sin. He wants to mercifully give warning to everyone about the coming judgment of every sin that man has ever committed. The prophet Jonah was commanded by God to go to Nineveh to preach to them about their sin. You think, that shouldn't be a bad thing to do if Jonah's called by God. I mean, God is all-powerful and all-knowing, so Jonah can trust that God will pave the way for him. You know, make it easy for him to preach. Well, if you knew about Nineveh, you might see why Jonah is tempted to run from Nineveh. Let's take a look. Nineveh was the famous capital city of Assyria. If you remember from recent teachings, Syria has been threatening battle force against both Judah and Israel. Nineveh was famous because it was the center for worship of Ishtar, the fertility goddess better known as Ashtar. This was the goddess that Israel and sometimes Judah worshipped with the Ashtoreth poles under every green tree. In Genesis 10, we see that Nineveh was founded by Nimrod, the hunter who built the Tower of Babel and led the world into rebellion against God. So you can see that the roots of this city were not good roots, but wicked roots. Nineveh was a very fertile plain, so was a much desired place to live. The city was about 60 miles wide, with over 120,000 people living there. God is very angry at Nineveh and asked Jonah to go preach to them, but it is such an evil city, no one would dare attempt to set foot in Nineveh. The prophet Nahum later puts it in Nahum 3, "Woe to the bloody city! It is all full of lies and robbery. Its victim never departs. The noise of a whip and the noise of rattling wheels, of galloping horses, of clattering chariots. There is a multitude of slain, a great number of bodies, countless corpses. They stumble over the corpses because the multitude of harlotries of the seductive harlot, the mistress of sorceries, who sells nations through her harlotries and families through her sorceries." So, you can see from this description why Jonah would be afraid to go preach to a place as evil and wicked as Nineveh. But a prophet of God would certainly have an unyielding faith and trust, right? Has God called you to serve Him more closely? Is there a ministry that He has for you? He might want you to follow Him more closely, but what are you doing in response? Are you following, or are you fearing and fleeing? I mean, it's Nineveh. Who would want to get near an evil place like that? And back to you, this world today is a scary place. I mean, think of going to a college campus to share Christ, or going to a not-so-safe neighborhood to help people, or even helping at a soup kitchen. That can be a fearful thing to do, right? And here's an if. What if God called you to go to Syria today? What's happening over there? ISIS. ISIS stands for Islamic State of Iraq and Syria. You see, later Syria in the Bible will be chastised again after they turn back to their evil ways. Today, some of the wicked roots still remain. Will you go tell Syria today, which used to have Nineveh as their capital city, that they will be destroyed by God in 40 days? Uh-oh, you could be beheaded like other Christians have been lately. Can you trust God? God's desire is that we all trust Him for everything, our strength, our boldness, and our safety. But that's a tough journey to imagine. Well, let's take a look at the journey of Jonah to see if there are some things we can learn about serving and following God. The scripture we will be covering is in the book of Jonah, and the title of this teaching is Flee, Follow God. So let's get started. First of all, Jonah was running from God. In Jonah 1, God says to Jonah, "Arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me." But Jonah rose up to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid to go on a boat sailing to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. This was an act of total disobedience. Have you ever run from God? Maybe you felt a strong pressing from God to take on a ministry, or maybe even to witness to unbelievers. Ugh, you say, I'm not equipped to serve God. How can He use me? I don't know anything about ministry or witnessing. So you just run. The problem with running from God is that it is an act of disobedience toward God. What are the results of disobedience? Many people might stop praying and, of course, stop reading their Bibles. Why? Because they don't want to hear from God. I mean, if I pray and read the Bible, I might hear God say, "Go." Well, that's what God said to Jonah, "Go to Nineveh of all places." Second, when Jonah set foot on the boat finally heading to Tarshish, he went deeper into disobedience. He went down to the bottom of the ship and slept. That is exactly what disobedience brings us, down and out. The down and out for Jonah was a storm. God sent a storm. Let's see what the book of Jonah tells us. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was about to be broken. Are you in a storm? What did you learn in your storm? How do you handle the storms that God allows in your life? Do you ask him to teach you in the storm? If you think about it, every storm has a purpose, but you have to stop long enough to recognize what the purpose is. Be still and listen to God so you can know his purpose for your storm. I was recently going through a storm, and to my surprise, God was wishing for me to grow more fruit. Yes, fruit. God wants us all to have more fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5 says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. This fruit is not something we can just make up our mind to grow. Try being more patient. You will have a difficult time putting patience on yourself. We all need God's help to grow his fruit, and sometimes we might get knocked down by a storm so God can pick us up and make us softer for growing fruit. It's difficult to go through storms, so watch closely to see what God wants for you in the storms of life. Pray that he will give you the fruit of the Spirit. An interesting note is that God calls it fruit, not fruits. So when God gives you patience, he also gives you self-control, love, joy, peace, kindness, etc. Only God would have a fruit so rich like this. Third, Jonah was startled by God. You know, if we flee from God, he is so powerful that he will startle us and awaken us so we will serve him in spite of our disobedience. Look what happened to Jonah. There was a great storm, and the men on the boat who served idols called on their gods to save them, but it didn't work. So they awakened Jonah from his deep sleep and then asked him where he was from and which god he served. They wanted to understand which god was so mad to cause such a storm. Jonah 1 says, the mariners were afraid, and every man cried to his God. But Jonah had gone down into the ship and lay fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said, "What do you mean, O sleeper? Arise, call upon your God, so he will think upon us so that we don't perish." Next, they cast lots to find out that Jonah's God caused the storm. Jonah then proceeded to tell them in Jonah 1:9, "I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." Jonah probably didn't realize the impact he had on these men, because after those words, they called on Jonah's God. You see, God can use us even when we don't intend to be used. Fourth, Jonah was used by God. You know, Jonah was witnessing to these men in spite of his running and fear. All Jonah had to do was say who his God was, and the men believed him. Then they asked Jonah how the storm could become calm. He replied that they should throw him overboard. Next, they prayed to Jonah's God, asking him to cease the storm because they didn't want to harm Jonah. In Jonah 1:14, they called out to the Lord, "O Lord, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not on us innocent blood, for you, O Lord, have done as it pleased you." After that, they tried to make it to the shore, but the boat was about to break. Then they threw Jonah out of the boat, and the storm immediately ceased, and there was stillness. Once that happened, the men believed in Jonah's God. So even though Jonah was running and not wanting to be used by God, the Almighty Perfect God still used Jonah and provided a whale to preserve Jonah for more use later. Yes, Jonah was a witness, and all of the men believed in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They not only prayed to God, but they made vows and sacrificed to him. All Jonah had to do was be there. Yes, he was running, but God used him anyway. So don't ever think that you need to be an amazing evangelist or teacher to be used by God. I know many times when I went to a college to share Christ with people, when I thought I wasn't prepared or maybe sick, those were the times that God used me the most. Don't ever feel unprepared. Just go, and God will use you in spite of your doubts and fears. 1 Timothy 1:7 says, God did not give us a spirit of fear, but one of power, love, and a sound mind. Learn to trust God no matter what the circumstances. Fifth, God left Jonah while he was in the belly of the whale. Jonah 1 continues, Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and 3 nights. Without the presence of God, there is complete darkness. Without the presence of God, you will be discontent. Without the presence of God, you will feel doom and destruction, and all hope in life will disappear. One can try with all their might, but eventually without God, everything will collapse. The things of the world that make you happy will seem sour. People in your life who you once loved will irritate you beyond belief. Why? Because God is not first in your life. In order to have a complete life full of joy and satisfaction, God must be present. Jonah found that out while in the belly of the whale. It was dark, and the stench must have been absolutely unbearable. Jonah was here in confinement. The belly of the fish was his prison, was a close and dark dungeon to him. Yet even in Jonah's darkness, God was listening to him. His prayer in the book of Jonah said, I called out to the Lord out of my distress, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice. For you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the floods surrounded me. All your waves and your billows passed over me. When Jesus was hanging on the cross at Calvary to die for the sins of mankind, God turned away for a time to allow the sacrifice to occur. It was a time of darkness and sadness, but after 3 days and 3 nights, just like the time Jonah was in the whale, Jesus rose from the dead to life again. In Matthew 12:40, Jesus said, For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. What a beautiful comparison and prophecy of future salvation. God would use Jonah to save Nineveh in spite of his running. Next, Jonah prayed, I am driven away from your sight, yet I shall look upon your holy temple. 2 Chronicles 6:19-21 in Solomon's dedication prayer at the temple, Solomon said, Yet have regard to the prayer of your servant and to his plea, O Lord my God, listening to the cry and to the prayer that your servant prays before you, that your eyes may be opened day and night toward this house, the place where you have promised to set your name, that you may listen to the prayer that your servant offers toward this place. And listen to the pleas of your servant and of your people Israel when they pray toward this place. And listen from heaven, your dwelling place, and when you hear, forgive. This is exactly what God did for Jonah. He heard his prayer from the belly of the whale and forgave him. How special to think that the original dedication prayer that I'm sure Jonah's parents must have taught him as a child was remembered at such a time as this while imprisoned in the belly of the whale. Jonah continues praying, The waters closed in over me to take my life. The deep surrounded me. Weeds were wrapped around my head at the roots of the mountains. I went down to the land whose bars closed upon me forever. Yet you brought up my life from the pit. O Lord my God, when my life was fainting away, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to you, into your holy temple. Those who pay regard to vain idols forsake their hope of steadfast love. But I, with the voice of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will pay. Salvation belongs to the Lord. And the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah out upon the dry land. What an amazing picture of salvation from the journey of Jonah. And miraculously, Jonah survived to tell the world about it. Sixth, God tells Jonah again to serve him. He says, Jonah, will you go to Nineveh now? Unlike the first time God called Jonah to go to Nineveh to preach, Jonah made no objection this time. Jonah 3 says, so Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. At this point, after being in the belly of the whale for 3 days and three nights, it appears that Jonah returned to God as a stubborn child, much like the prodigal son who finally learned his lesson. If we are to serve God in ministry, we must hear the call of God. Then, if we stray at some point like Jonah did, God is faithful to call us back again. Beware of his judgment, though, if you stray from his direction, for you just might end up in the belly of a whale, so to say. When Jesus healed people, many times he gave them warnings to sin no more. If God calls you to minister to his people, guard yourself constantly with prayer and the word of God to avoid falling into sin. God will provide like-minded Christians to hold you up in prayer also. If you are in ministry and he hasn't provided people to pray for you, then pray that he will bring them to you. It's wonderful to serve God, but the battle will rage. 1 Peter 4:12 says, Beloved, don't think it strange concerning the fiery trial that will try you as though some strange thing has happened to you. But rejoice, since you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you will be glad with exceeding joy. So if God calls you like he did Jonah, don't fret if you go through trials. Just make sure to read your Bible daily, listen to it whenever you're driving or cannot read, and read before you go to bed. Memorize scripture so you can use it when you pray, and you can always be on guard so that you don't sin and run away from the call of God like Jonah did. Let the life of Jonah be a warning to all the teachers and missionaries and preachers out there. If you do fall like Jonah did, don't be alarmed, because the testing of your faith produces perseverance that God can use to sharpen your faith. Look at David, who fell into sin. Psalm 119:67 says, Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I have kept thy word. Affliction from God is like sandpaper that makes us better than before, more useful and humble for God. Seventh, Jonah was finally useful and humble for God. He did speak to the crowds of Nineveh, and they quickly turned from their evil ways. In Jonah 3 it says, He cried and said, In 40 days Nineveh shall be overthrown. So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them to the least of them. You see, Nineveh saw their problem against God once they were faced with the future destruction in 40 days, so they desired the solution from God, which was him turning from that destruction. They were willing at that point to repent before God. Jonah 3 continues, For the word came to the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne and laid his robe from him and covered himself with sackcloth and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, Let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily to God. Yes, let them turn every one from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. Who can tell if God will change his mind and turn away from his fierce anger so that we do not perish? And God saw their works, and God turned from the evil that he had said that he would do to them. You see, this message from God was earth-shattering to this wicked, evil nation. You know, God has a way of doing that to us, convicting us of sin. When you hear or read a certain word from God, it can quicken the Spirit of God that we have living inside of us if we're Christians, and you will be convicted of sin, judgment, and righteousness. See, God's Spirit makes it clear in the conviction that we have sinned, and then reminds us that God must judge every sin, and then we feel the urge to repent before God, and He faithfully covers our sin. The Ninevites did not have the Spirit of God like we do today, so they felt the need to cover their sins according to the law at the time by putting on sackcloth. Fortunately, we can worship God in spirit and truth and ask for forgiveness anytime, any place. Praise God that He is such a loving, forgiving God who blots out our sins, like Psalm 51 says. Unfortunately, Nineveh returns to its evil ways in the future, so God will punish them. Zephaniah 2:13 tells us, "And he will stretch out his hand against the north and destroy Assyria and will make Nineveh a desolation and dry like a wilderness." Jesus said concerning Nineveh in Matthew 12:41, "The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And behold, a greater than Jonah is here." Jesus was letting the people know that he is the one who had come to save the world from sin and death. If Jonah could cause such a large revival, keep looking to see what Jesus does. The revival of salvation through Christ is amazing. 8th, we see Jonah blowing up like a spoiled child who wants what they want and will not accept anything else. Jonah 4 says, "But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was angry. And he prayed to the Lord and said, 'O Lord, isn't this what I said when I was yet in my country? That is why I made haste to flee to Tarshish, for I knew that you are a gracious and merciful God, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and relenting from disaster. Therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live.'" Jonah was instructed by God to tell the Ninevites about the coming destruction in 40 days and nothing else. Jonah did that, and it caused the results that God wanted, revival. But Jonah was upset because of the revival. He had a "I told you so, God" attitude. He was retelling God what he thought would happen. His desires did not line up with God's desires. Does this not reflect all of us? How many of us can say the same thing? We serve God, and we have in our mind exactly what should be happening according to our desires, but we find out God's plans are different from our plans. We've already figured it all out, only to find that we are wrong. Our selfish desires try to get in the way, but God always prevails. His ways are perfect, and his goals and desires will always trump our goals and desires. Will that anger you? If a mass murderer repents and is saved? If an evil person from another country repents and is saved? If a selfish, conniving person repents and is saved? Remember, God is in control and his ways are perfect. Sinners who repent advance God's kingdom and angels rejoice. Does it make sense for any of us to be angry at the grace which we received and needed in order to have life ourselves? These conversions of the Ninevites needed to be a joy to Jonah. Make sure you remember the joy in heaven when sinners come to God. Rejoice at the repentant hearts who receive the grace of God. Next, we see God in his patience preparing shade for Jonah to ease his grief. God could have been angry and reprimanded Jonah, but instead he prepares shade to cover Jonah's grief. Jonah 4 reads, "So Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side and made a booth and sat under it in the shadow so he might see what would become of the city. And the Lord God prepared a gourd and made it to come over Jonah, that it might be a shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief." So Jonah was exceedingly glad for the gourd. Look at the compassion God showed to Jonah. He saw that Jonah was grieved for all the wrong reasons, so he reached out to Jonah in love and gave him a wonderful gift, shade from a gourd. So once Jonah felt relief from the shade of the large gourd leaves, do you think he was repentant and said, "God, forgive my attitude"? Unfortunately not. Therefore, maybe the next action of God was to test Jonah to see his heart, because God prepared a worm when the morning rose the next day, and it ate the leaf of the gourd, so it withered. And it came to pass, when the sun did rise, that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat so hard upon the head of Jonah that he fainted and wished himself to die, and said, "It is better for me to die than to live." And God said to Jonah, "Is it good to be angry for the gourd?" And Jonah said, "I do well to be angry, even unto death." Then the Lord said, "You have had pity on the gourd, for which you had not labored or made it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And should I not spare Nineveh, that great city, where there are more than 120,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand?" So here's the lesson to be learned with the provision by God of the gourd. Just like God brought the whale to protect Jonah from the trials of the sea, so did he provide the gourd to protect Jonah from the trials of the sun and the heat it caused. Jonah went from Nineveh expecting after 40 days maybe God might actually destroy it. The problem is that Jonah was looking back, much like Lot's wife who looked back after leaving Sodom and Gomorrah. When you look back, you are useless, like the pillar of salt Lot's wife became. While Jonah sat in his booth sulking and complaining and brooding, he was useless to God. God, though, in his merciful kindness, brought the gourd to protect and comfort Jonah in his grief, just like God provided the whale to spare Jonah's life and give him comfort during his sin of running from God's face. What a merciful, loving God we have who is patient enough to give us chances to get right with him. Jonah has a chance to get right with God while sitting in his booth. God provides the gourd, and Jonah is exceedingly glad for it. He could have stopped and praised the Almighty God for the gourd. It sounds like he might have done that, but the problem is, when God took the gourd away by sending the worm, Jonah didn't praise God anymore. You see, we all need to learn to praise God and give him the glory in good times and in bad times. When the gourd was all eaten up, Jonah just complained and wanted to die again. Jonah should have recognized that God provides everything, and he needed to be thankful for all that he had and ever will have, and just say thanks to God for every breath he breathes. We all need to learn to submit to God and ask him to use us. Just remember that there may be a battle when we serve God, but keep giving God all the glory and praise that he desires, and he will always be faithful to protect and care for you. The care God provides may not be what you had in mind, but you have to learn to trust in the one who numbered every hair on your head and the one who knit you together in your mother's womb. Recently, when I went through a fiery trial in my life, a special friend called me and said, "You need to do a word study on the word wait." Well, I did the study even though I thought I was fine at waiting on God, and guess what? God taught me a great lesson. You see, we are so imperfect compared to God, and there's always something more that he wants for us to learn about him. The study on the word wait was so valuable. I went through every single verse in the entire Bible that says wait and wrote about 50 of them down on index cards and read through them every night as I go to bed. God has used those verses to bless me and teach me many times over. These verses help me to depend on him and not depend on what I think. You see, much of our thinking has been shaped by the world, so we must cling to God for every breath and luxury he chooses to provide in our lives, including the shade of a gourd that has large leaves to shade us. Just like with Jonah, God decided when to provide the gourd and when to remove it. We must learn to wait and trust God while we wait. Don't ever give up, but keep fighting in the army of the Lord, especially when the fighting concerns lost sinners like in Nineveh. In 2 Peter 3:9 it says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering to you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." In conclusion, the scene of God forgiving the sins of the Ninevites is such a joy to see how much God cares for sinners who long to be forgiven for their sins. Even though Nineveh was such a wicked place, God still offers forgiveness for sins if they repent and turn away from their evil ways. His love is so perfect that from the beginning of time, he had a theme of redemption throughout the Bible. God's intention was to show mercy to the sinners, which was displayed with Adam and Eve when God sacrificed an animal and gave them the skins to cover their sins. Then there were the sacrifices and ceremonial laws done to forgive the sins of the Israelites. Later, the temple brought such rejoicing upon its completion because sinners could come to the temple for sacrifices and forgiveness of sins. This foreshadowed God's final sacrifice for the final victory over sin and death, the sacrifice of Jesus Christ for all the sins of the world. God is so rich in mercy, and we all need to be thankful for this and rejoice along with the angels in heaven when a sinner comes to repentance. Jonah did not rejoice, but he selfishly and jealously brooded. Did God get angry at Jonah? No, he remained a merciful, loving God who tried to teach Jonah through his struggles. Let's all pray that we learn from Jonah in case we find ourselves acting the same way. I want to thank you for listening today, and I hope you found a blessing while studying the prophet Jonah. Thank you.